Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Zach Hicks. Zach is the Chief Digital Officer of Toyota Motors North America and the Chief Executive Officer of Toyota Connected, a division focused on data science and intelligent mobility. As CDO, Zach leads a significant engineering team, and he has responsibility for the hardware and the software of Toyota's North America cars and the company's digital transformation efforts. Prior to this dual role, Zach was the Chief Information Officer of Toyota Motors North America. In this interview, Zach shares his vision for how technology will transform driving. As the CEO of Toyota Connected, Zach and his team use data to provide an enhanced and seamless driving experience. To do so, Zach is focused on removing friction points throughout the entire process by having third-party services integrate with Toyota's technologies. He claims to be agnostic about who owns the experience and that his only goal is to enable it. While he's focused on augmenting the driving experience, he asserts that full autonomy is still far in the future. We also discuss Zach's experience as a board-level executive, his view on the future of autonomous vehicles, the benefits of containers and serverless technologies, and a variety of other topics. And now a word from our sponsor. Technovation is brought to you by Fortinet. I recently caught up with Fortinet's Chief Information Security Officer, Phil Quaid, and he discussed the expanding threat landscape that IT executives and companies more generally encounter daily, and the ways in which Fortinet's security fabric can help.
Almost every organization faces an expanding attack surface caused by digital transformation, threat actors that automate sophisticated attacks, and a growing cybersecurity skills gap. It's more urgent than ever for security leaders to not only be technologists, but strategists that can enable business. The fundamental elements of cybersecurity are speed and integration. Combined with segmentation and access control, you can build a foundation that tilts the odds in your favor, defending at your points of strength. Fortinet can help. Our security fabric spans your entire networked environment from the IoT endpoint through your core and into multi-cloud environments. We integrate each security element to address today's growing threat environment, protecting the expanding attack surface and reduce complexity. This enables actionable threat intelligence to be shared at speed and scale, and automated mitigations that shrink risk windows. It's the cybersecurity strategy and technology used to protect the highest end systems, and it's now accessible to both enterprise and SMB. Just because you cannot eliminate cyber risk does not mean that you cannot manage it. Build your strategy around speed, automation, and integration.
Let's get back to our interview. Zach Hicks, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Zach, I thought we would begin with your current role. You are the Chief Digital Officer, or at least one of your roles. We'll cover both sides of it. Chief Digital Officer of Toyota Motor Company in North America. And wanted to talk to you a bit about the purview of CDO. It's a role that has emerged in some companies, though certainly by no means all. And it seems like a role that is defined very differently depending upon the company. So would love your perspectives on how it's been defined at Toyota Motor North America.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And I'll tell you how we came about it at Toyota. So I came up mostly on the IT side at Toyota, but I did several rotations on the business side as well. And as I began taking on more functions outside of what would be traditionally considered IT, my role expanded. The title of CIO wasn't really descriptive as I took on more business side functions. For example, I've got responsibility in North America for the hardware and the software in our cars. And as we took on that large piece of work and there was a lot of synergies there. And so and I think there's a lot of opportunities for CIOs because all of our products are becoming connected. And so there's a bit of a gap where the CIOs can step into and help the companies transform those. And certainly as I did, then when I met with our CEO and he shared his vision of wanting to create a digital transformation and mobility group under me, he talked about, well, we need a name that's bigger than CIO, but still indicates you've got it's around digital transformation. And so we landed on a chief digital officer. In some companies, it may be more of a marketing or advertising function. But for here, it includes a significant engineering team, as well as a transformation team. As we're looking at mobility and how mobility is changing in the landscape, how does Toyota play a role in that? I've got responsibility for that area as well. So that's how we came up with CDO.
And as you took on this role, I know that IT is still part of your purview, as you noted. In fact, the new CIO was hired, Manjit Singh, a great CIO from Clorox.
Yeah, that's right.
So clearly you still have IT responsibilities. Presumably the team that you led there is continuing in those roles. How do you think about the different aspects of your team, especially perhaps some of the net new skills that you've developed now with the renewed focus or a new focus for that matter on digital, more generally speaking?
Yeah, I think that's, what was important to me was that that all of the new stuff we're doing is still rooted and connected to the traditional stuff that's made us so great. And I think we've seen that over the past several years where most companies have created a Silicon Valley office and they put in some smart people. They may come across some good ideas, but then they have no way to kind of connect it back to the mothership. And what was important to us is as we looked at these new opportunities, we wanted to make sure that they were rooted in our capabilities. And as we transformed, we just didn't transform on one side of the equation, maybe on the consumer facing side, but not deal with the legacy stuff that needed to be transformed. And so having that connection is super important. And powerful. And it's also great to be able to bring a team of IT technologists and engineers that have many years of experience in building systems and looking at architectures. And now that it's being connected to our products, we're being able to bring those skills and experiences together. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it was important for us to bring it together. But, as my role expanded, it was important for us to backfill the CIO role. And that's how we were fortunate enough to bring in Manjit.
That's fantastic. And speaking of expanded role, you're also the chief executive officer and president of Toyota Connected, and would love to hear more about that. Maybe a bit about the nature of Toyota Connected first and foremost, as well as your role, of course, as the lead of that part of the organization.
Sure. It was about 3 years ago that a senior executive from Japan came to me, and we had built some really amazing capabilities around leveraging data and getting insights into it. And when Mr. Tomoyama came to me, he said, we want to create a company around the data that's coming out of the vehicles. And we talked about that. We talked about really what's the value of the data. And it wasn't of selling it at the expense of the customer or selling them more ads. Really, I don't think anybody wants that. The opportunity was, can we take data and give people an amazing experience in one of our vehicles? And a great example of that is you get in the car in the morning. We've all had the experience where you get halfway to work and you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot my phone. And then now you have to drive back and get it. But how about something as simple as getting in your car in the morning and the car reminding you, hey, I don't see your phone connected. Do you really want to leave the driveway without it? And then knowing that let's say if I'm connected to your calendar, knowing that you've got an 8 a.m. meeting, but based on traffic, you're going to be 15 minutes late. I can put on, ask you from the vehicle to say, do you want me to let the meeting organizer know you're running 15 minutes late? Or would you like to join by Skype without dialing 15 numbers and a pound sign? That's something simple that we can do in the car by leveraging the data to make it work for the consumer. So I don't want to sell your data to somebody else, but I want to make that data that exists in the car to give you great experience. And I'll tell you the next level of that is if you share with us, if you opt in, we'll keep your data private. But if I know that you travel on certain routes, the next time you tell me that you're hungry, I know that you like Mexican food. I can let you know there's a new great Mexican restaurant that's opened up. I also know that there's 3 seatbelts buckled. So you're going to need a reservation for a party of 3. So that takes it from being something that could be creepy to being really helpful and giving consumers full transparency and access to the data, but making their data work for them in ways that we haven't seen in the past. And that's the focus. And what we're doing at Toyota Connected. We're also doing some other great things. We launched a car sharing project with our partners in Hawaii, the dealer group that's run by a company called Servco. And we created a product where you can land in Hawaii, you can see one of the cars parked on the road, you can download an app within minutes, be able to reserve a car for an hour or for a day or whatever your rental period is. But now your phone becomes a digital key. So as you walk up to the car, it knows who you are. It unlocks. You use your phone to start and stop the car. And then when your rental period is over, you can walk away. And so you can just use the car for that period of time that you wanted to use it for. And that's a good example of being able to leverage this platform. And in the future, when we get to autonomous cars, it's that same platform that will allow you to have your car pick you up, take you to work, drop you off. And then if you want to have that car earn money for you by delivering packages for Amazon or people for Uber, you can participate in an ecosystem. And then when it's time to go home at the end of the day, you can use that same platform to summon your vehicle to pick you up and drive you home at the end of the day. So what we're doing at Toyota Connected is taking data to create new experiences in mobility and to give people a great experience. And the next time you get a new Toyota Lexus, your seat position will be in the right position. The temperature controls will already be set. We even know what music you like and when you've turned up the radio. So the next time you want to, you get in a new Toyota Lexus, we can even have your favorite song playing. But if you don't want to participate in this, if data privacy is more important to you, then we would honor that and not enable these services. So, but we want to be able to give you a transformative experience in Toyota Lexus that you can't get anywhere else. And if you don't want to participate, you don't have to.
Really interesting stuff. And I'm curious, how do you think about the sort of developing an ecosystem to bring this together? Obviously, there are a number of places where any individual's data is collected. Devices yeah. that we use to get from point A to point B to understand where the you know the latest and greatest Mexican restaurant is and so on. You know how do you work with other sources of data, other technology firms who are complementary to delivering what you've described in order to develop a broader and more powerful ecosystem for your customers.
Yeah, and that's really the opportunity. It's like I talked about earlier. We grew up watching things like the Jetsons or Knight Rider, and the promise was we're going to have these really awesome experiences where technology was going to like transform our lives and make life easier. And up until this point, we've had this app by app experience or mobile device or device versus desktop device, and the experiences weren't flowing. And I think, you know, it's no longer about anybody owning the whole experience. You've got to enable it and have it flow with you. So we're already doing that. So today, you know, in how we're building, looking at say a digital assistant in the car. If you say, turn on my lights, we may ask you in the car, do you mean your headlights? But if you know it's my home lights, then I'll pass off that message to Siri or Alexa or Google, depending on who you're using at home, to enable that experience to flow with you wherever you go. And for the people, you know, when you got kids in the back seat wanting access to their content, movies and you know, music and so on, I don't care where that content comes from. I should be able to enable it. And so we just want you to have a really great experience. And that's the opportunity to engage the customer in new ways is to remove those friction points.
Very interesting. And so we've talked about the two sides of your role, the CEO of Toyota Connected, the Chief Digital Officer of Toyota Motor North America. Are those two different sides of sort of the same body of work, the teams that you lead in order to deliver the things that you've described, how are they divided up? Can you tell me a bit more about sort of your org structure, I guess, for lack of a more elegant way to put that?
Yeah, it was also an opportunity for us to kind of to try things differently. And also in creating a new company, you have the luxury of having a green field. So I don't have any legacy technology that I have to carry forward. But also when we looked at what we were trying to do around data and creating these new products and services, we also knew that we had to hire really advanced technologists, and we'd be competing for the same type of technologists that would go work at Facebook, Google, or Apple. And so we wanted to create a separate company where we could go at the speed of technology and create small, agile Scrum teams that would deliver very quickly and iteratively. And it's been a great experience. It's also served as a model of how I've now been transforming our IT department to become a more agile, consumer-focused group. And also, technology has changed. You know, we used to have to buy technology from these big legacy companies that would sell us stuff. It would take us 3 years to implement. It would take so long to get to value. And now with cloud computing and containers, you can do things much more faster and iteratively. And so we're changing both sides of the equation. And I will tell you, even starting a new company, you have the challenges of everyone being new in a startup. And so you have to teach them about the enterprise and that, hey, we can't all just do our own things. And we've got standards and all these parts have to fit together to equal a whole. So it's interesting to be able to have both. It's like an A-B test. And I continue to iterate on both models. But the great thing is that we've hired really amazing people We're building awesome products, and both places are exciting places to work.
I'm also curious, you know, as you contemplate your rise from the chief information officer role to this much broader purview where the chief information officer reports to you first and foremost, but now you've got such a breadth of responsibilities that directly impact customers to an even greater extent than before, and have your hands on a variety of areas that are going to be drivers of revenue augmentation and not simply deriving efficiencies for the organization. I'm sure you think about both of those as both significantly relevant. But I'd be curious for other chief information officers who are looking to expand their roles, if you could reflect a moment about some of the things you did in the CIO role in order to make these kinds of opportunities relevant.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the early days when I first became a CIO, I felt like I was always behind the eight ball. I was always behind the demand. And so as the business leaders would say, I have this need for a product. The challenge was, well, by the time they've expressed that need, it's already too late, because if it's going to take me a year to 2 years to build something, I was never going to get in front of it. And so it was, how do we triangulate? How do we understand what the customers or what the business needs before they've expressed that need? And I think that's the first step, is being able to partner, be engaged, and kind of not look as IT as this central group that needs to be off to the side, but they need to be embedded with the business and traveling with the business, hearing the voice of the customer, and then being able to bring those solutions forward and iterate very quickly. And as I did that, there was more opportunities that were afforded to us. And as we saw gaps as our dealerships became more digitized and the customers were spending more time online and the products became more connected, there's just new opportunities. And as CIOs, you can either still kind of draw your box and say, well, I'm still waiting for the order, or do you step outside of your box and start engaging with the consumers and the business to build these solutions real time. And for me, that was the opportunity. And as I did more of that, then we were given more opportunities. And so I think in any company, your products are becoming digitized. And I think nobody knows better than IT in ways and how to leverage these opportunities. And CIOs and IT leaders oftentimes know the business as well as the business, because IT is a digital manifestation of your business process. And knowing those business processes, it's the tension that exists between your old business models and the new customer opportunities, and how can you transform and iterate quickly. And I think there's nobody better than the IT leaders to help lead those transformations.
Very interesting and well said. I also wanted to hit on a topic you raised earlier. You talked about autonomous vehicles and some of the advances that are in ways small already, and in maybe ways actually not so small, are already impacting driving today. There are some who pontificate that we're a matter of a few years away, where this is, you know, enormous leaps and bounds in terms of autonomous driving are going to take shape. And obviously there's a whole range of changes that may be necessary in order to fully realize that, including regulatory changes that might either stand in the way or facilitate the advancement there. But I'm curious, you know, as you look out, I don't know what the time horizon might be, but let's say a decade or so, and as you think about introducing the sort of innovation such as autonomous driving, how you see the customer's interaction with the vehicle and just the experience, frankly, of getting from A to B within a car is likely to change.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're already seeing it today. It's amazing in such a short time. I mean, think about it. You know, 5 years ago, somebody told you, hey, you know, from now on, you're going to call up a stranger and have them take you to the airport. You would have never dreamed of it. And today we do it on a daily basis with Uber and Lyft and others. So how we're using transformation certainly has transformed. And now we're seeing the proliferation of bike sharing and scooter sharing happening in cities. People are consuming transportation much differently. And it's really, we at Toyota, we say we're not an automotive company, we're a mobility company. And mobility is really defined by our customers. And whether that's helping somebody get across the country or across town, or even somebody that may need some help within their house getting across the living room, we'll build those solutions however the customers want that. And we've got some tests in Europe where for one price, your monthly payment on a vehicle, it includes under 2 kilometers in a taxi. It gives you unlimited bike share. It gives you free public transportation and including the rental price of your, the lease price of your vehicle. So we're trying and experimenting with different models, and we will get to autonomy, but it's not going to be this overnight switch from non-autonomous vehicles to autonomous vehicles. You're seeing it today. In any Toyota vehicle today, you've got things like safety sense, which if traffic stops in front of you, you don't press the brake, the car will stop for you. If you start to, we have lane keep, where if you're starting to drift out of your lane, we'll keep you, the car will keep you in the lane. So you're already starting to see these technologies begin to augment how you drive. And you'll see a continued evolution of that until it becomes full autonomy. But there are still big challenges, like where the vision systems, you know, if you're in a really snowy or very foggy area, they're not much better than a human. And so we need these technologies to evolve to a point where it can drive as good as a human. And we also say, you know, unfortunately, there's about 30,000 fatalities a year in the U.S. By human error in vehicles. We wouldn't tolerate that if autonomous cars were killing 30,000 people a year. So these autonomous systems have to get much better than humans are, and that's a very complicated process. So we'll see the technology help humans, but actually replacing human drivers is a ways out.
Right. I'm curious, obviously, you've been with Toyota now for 23 years, if I've got the dates roughly correct.
And yeah.
Therefore, you're clearly a car guy, I would imagine, deeply immersed in all that Toyota does. Do you look forward to a time when you're doing very little of the driving and the car is doing it for itself?
I don't know about that. You know, I will tell you that a lot of my life is out of control. I'm sitting in airports. I'm waiting for a delayed plane. You know, the one time I'm actually in control of my life and somebody's not telling me what to do is when I'm behind the car, so behind the wheel. So I don't know if I want to give that up. But yeah, there may be times when we want that, and then I think we'll have both. But I don't think we'll give it up completely.
Yeah, understood. I wanted to also mention that you were on the board of Signet Jewelers, and I'm curious, I know it's a relatively recent appointment, and I also know that a lot of your fellow technology executives, especially in your old post as chief information officers, have a growing ambition to join boards. And actually a good number, although it's certainly not an enormous club just yet, it is an elite club and one that is growing. And I'd be curious, first of all, how you, or if you even made it clear to those people in influence, whether executive recruiters, whether your own board, whether your executive team, that it was an ambition of yours, and likewise the steps along the way in order to realize that ambition. Again, this assumes it was one in the first place.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty active in the CIO community, and I've got several peers that serve on boards. It was certainly something in my mind that if I had the right opportunity to come along, I would be interested. What was great about Signet was that they weren't competing or part of any of our supply chain. So it was a different industry and an opportunity for me to learn. As you said, I spent most of my life working at Toyota, so an opportunity to see the world from a different lens was really exciting to me. But what was seemed like a great fit was that they were very interested in finding a board member that had digital experience, a history in technology, but very business and outcome focused, and that certainly was my sweet spot. So, like any person, I wanted to know that if I agreed to join a board, that would actually add some value. And that was important to me, that not just be a board member that was just sitting there. I wanted to be an active and contributing board member. And so it seemed like my background skill set was a good match. And fortunately, they offered me the opportunity. And it's great to see, you know, while we are in the retail business with vehicles, but seeing retail from a different lens and seeing how that's being transformed, there's a lot of synergies and experiences that I've gone through at Toyota that I think I can share with the other board members and the leadership team at Signet. But also, to learn both sides. So I'm excited about a journey. Like I said, it's only been a month. So I'm excited about learning more as we go forward.
That's excellent. Is there any advice you'd offer to fellow IT executives who would wish to follow in your footsteps? Things you would advise them to emphasize, contacts you'd advise them to make, other areas in which you'd suggest that they, or things that you'd suggest that they do in order to potentially realize the same outcome?
Wow. I don't know if I have all the answers to that. It's been my experience that because I always wanted to learn and understand how other businesses were approaching similar problems, I've stayed very active in the CIO community through either the research board or CIO Strategy Exchange. And through these networking groups of my peers, I've been pretty active. And I think through that active involvement, it got me some awareness or made other people aware of some of the work that I was doing and made it interesting. And then, like, because tech is blowing up so much and there's underemployment or overemployment, I should say, in technology, we get lots of recruiting calls. And I would say I'm not interested in leaving Toyota, but, you know, if the right opportunity on a board could come along. So those are the opportunities where you can share it with the recruiters that, hey, I'm not looking at changing positions, but, you know, if the right board position comes along, I may be open to that. And so eventually that's how I got a call from a recruiter.
Wonderful. I also wanted to, we've talked about a number of trends, those associated with the analytics. We've talked about sort of IoT-centric trends, autonomous vehicles. Are there others that are starting to make their way onto your roadmap that we've not covered yet that you would highlight as areas of potential emphasis in the year ahead?
I think, you know, what we're seeing right now is so exciting around serverless technology and containers. You know, the containers and Kubernetes and things like that have been, you know, popular for the past couple of years, and they really are kind of enabling us to work in more nimble ways and to be able to build platforms and then but now able to localize those solutions through container technology, but also serverless and being able to drive out tremendous amounts of cost. You know, it wasn't that long ago that if somebody came to me on the business side and said, hey, I want to know how many Camrys have this type of condition on it, that query may cost me $30,000. But with this new serverless technology, I can get that query down to a couple $100. And we're seeing companies like Google and Amazon driving out cost and bringing tremendous innovation that I'm really excited about. It's our time to market. Long are the days of us buying a solution from one of the traditional IT suppliers, taking 3 years to implement it, and then finally getting some value. Today, with some of these new capabilities, you can spin up an instance in a minute and be working really quickly. So that to me is the game changer. I'm no longer having to hire, you know, thousands of or hundreds of engineers to just focus on setting up environments. I can go right to the value proposition.
Actually, related to that, it's interesting you note that one. You talked about how with a lot of the new aspects of your role, you've been able to sort of redefine the technology stack and operate with a lot more modern practices, modern technologies as a result of that. Now, naturally, as a going concern that's been around for a while, I have to imagine that as any organization of your size and scale and age, that there must also be some of the older technology that's still being used, and some of which probably is being developing a migration path towards modern versions of those same sorts of technologies, including the ones you've just mentioned. And I'm curious.
What's exciting now to me is that before, when we went from, let's say, like mainframe technology or some of these old big monolithic systems, and you wanted to rewrite it to put it on a distributed system, there was no ROI. You'd spend millions of dollars to end up back in the same place where you started from, but just a little bit more flexible. But now with the new solutions that are being offered by some of these new players in the market, you can skip a whole generation of technology and be able to solve those problems.
That's really interesting. Well, good. Zach Hicks, thank you so much for joining me today on the Technovation podcast. It's been great speaking with you. Great to understand a bit more about your career path, the very exciting things that are within your purview now with the multiple hats that you wear. It's been a great conversation. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be Tom Layton, the Chief Executive Officer of Akamai Technologies.